Radio Prague News. The Czech Republic is observing 3 days of mourning in honor of the late ex-president Václav Havel. Václav Havel's remains will be laid to rest in the family tomb in Vinohrady Cemetery in Prague. And close to 40 foreign dignitaries are expected to attend the late ex-president's funeral ceremony on Friday. The Czech Republic is observing 3 days of mourning in honor of the late ex-president Václav Havel. State institutions are flying black flags with others at half-mast. Concerts, exhibitions and theatrical performances have been largely cancelled and casinos and gambling bars are closed. Some cinemas are screening the film documentary Citizen Havel free of charge. Long lines have been forming at Prague Castle, where people came to pay their last respects to the late president. His body is lying in state in the castle's historic Vladislav Hall, where it will remain until Friday's funeral. Václav Havel died in his sleep on Sunday at his cottage in northern Bohemia. He was 75 years old. Mr. Havel's widow, Dagmar, has announced that the remains of her late husband will be laid to rest in the family tomb at the Vinohrady Cemetery in Prague. This is the final resting place of Václav Havel's first wife, Olga, and the late president's parents. The family will say a private goodbye to the late president at Prague's Strašnice crematorium on Friday afternoon. The press have been asked to respect their privacy. 12 heads of state and 24 government representatives are expected to attend Václav Havel's funeral ceremony on Friday, among them French President Nicolas Sarkozy, German President Christian Wolff, Austrian President Heinz Fischer, US Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, British Prime Minister David Cameron and others. The speakers at the ceremony are President Václav Klaus, Prague Archbishop Dominik Duka, Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg and the former US Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, who is of Czech descent and was a close friend of Mr. Havel's. A condolence letter from Pope Benedict will be read out during the Mass. At noon on Friday, bells will toll across the Czech Republic in memory of the departed president and people will observe a minute of silence in his honour. Police are gearing up for Friday's funeral, which will be attended by numerous foreign dignitaries and will inevitably bring restrictions to city traffic in some parts of Prague. Drivers have been asked to leave their cars at home, if at all possible. Meanwhile, Czech Railways has said it is reinforcing trains to and from Prague on both Thursday and Friday in view of high public interest in attending the funeral. Although people will not be able to enter St. Vitus Cathedral, which is limited to 1,000 places, the funeral will be shown live on screens outside. The president's office reports that Václav Havel's death mask has been taken for the creation of future portraits and sculptures of the late president. Many countries still observe the tradition of taking death masks of eminent personalities and royals. Now, in other news, real estate agents report that the economic uncertainty is making Czechs cautious in their housing decisions. They say potential buyers are extremely cautious in taking out mortgages and many people now prefer to rent out property until the economic situation improves. In the course of 2011, interest in renting property, particularly flats, has risen by over 17%. Many companies have announced layoffs at the start of 2012, and the number of Czechs who are unable to pay their debts is on the rise. The faulty French breast implants, suspected of being potentially carcinogenic, were exported to 65 countries, including the Czech Republic. The implants are also more likely to split and leak than other kinds. It is expected that the French government will announce a recall of the implants, which will involve tens of thousands of recipients being called in for surgery. It is not yet clear how many Czech women and foreign patients who underwent surgery at Czech clinics this may concern. The French authorities are expected to issue a statement on Friday. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The next few days should be partly cloudy to overcast, with rain or sleet showers, snow in the mountains and day temperatures between 0 and 5 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Pavla Horáková. In today's program, the late Czech ex-president Václav Havel is honored by the Jewish community at Wednesday's Chanukah ceremony in Prague.
I think that Havel was a modern-day Maccabee.
And later in the program, we talk to architect and art historian Zdeněk Lukeš, who cooperated closely with Václav Havel on revamping Prague Castle, the historical seat of Czech monarchs and presidents. Please stay with us. The late President Václav Havel was honored by Prague's Jewish community on Wednesday during a Hanukkah lighting ceremony in Jan Palach Square in the center of the capital. Jewish leaders, along with diplomats and the mayor of Prague, said the festival celebrates the same values Václav Havel always stood up for. Jan Richter attended the ceremony and has this report.
Mizmor le David, Adonai ro'i lo yachsar.
Rabbi Menes Barash from the Chabad congregation in Prague recited Psalm 23 in honor of the late President Václav Havel at the start of the Chanukah lighting ceremony in the center of the capital on Wednesday. The congregation has held the event for the 14th time in downtown Prague, but this year the 8-day holiday of Chanukah is tinged with sorrow. Also known as the Festival of Lights, Chanukah commemorates a successful revolt of a Jewish rebel group called the Maccabees against foreign oppression, very much like Václav Havel stood up against oppression in his own country, says Rabbi Barash.
I think that Havel was a modern-day Maccabee. I believe it was Mr. Havel that said that love and truth must prevail over hatred and lies. And that's really the message of Chanukah. Chanukah, the message the Maccabees fought courageously, the few and the weak over the many and the strong, in order that the truth and love and kindness prevail over lies and hatred. So it's special, I think, that we were able tonight at the menorah lighting also to honor his memory. And I think it was a very beautiful tribute to President Havel.
Some 150 people watched as Rabbi Barash, along with the mayor of Prague, Bohuslav Svoboda, U.S. Ambassador Norman Eisen and former Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer, ascended an aerial platform which took them to the top of the menorah, a 9-branched candelabrum standing in the middle of the square.
Okay, take her up. Thank God none of our politicians are afraid of heights. Lord Mayor, we'll light the first light.
When the three lights on the menorah were lit and those who kindled them returned to the ground, I asked U.S. Ambassador Norman Eisen to share his thoughts on this special occasion.
My thoughts are very much with Václav Havel. As I said in my remarks, he really symbolizes Hanukkah for me because Hanukkah is a holiday that celebrates freedom and it celebrates throwing off oppression. And that is exactly what Václav Havel did. And so from now on, whenever I celebrate Hanukkah, I'll also think of him.
Václav Havel was a great friend of your nation, the United States of America. What do you think he found so appealing, and why do you think he liked the United States so much?
Svoboda, because the United States, like the Czech Republic, and like this holiday of Hanukkah, is really about freedom. And I think that... he felt at home in the United States, and all Americans, regardless of party, creed, embraced him as one of us. And we're all very sad to lose him, but his values and his ideas and his plays will live on and will be an inspiration to all those who love freedom in the United States, in the Czech Republic, in Israel, and around the world.
In his note of condolence, President Barack Obama said that Václav Havel himself was an inspiration for him personally as well as for millions of people around the world. In what ways do you think Václav Havel was inspirational for the U.S. and for Americans?
Well, President Obama, of course, ran for office on a platform of hope and change. And that is exactly what... President Havel brought first to the fight against communism as a dissident, then to the Samatova Revolutse, and then to governing. in the Czech Republic. So I think the values of President Havel, his courage, his commitment to his values, his willingness to stand up for what he believed in, that's something all Americans cherish. And we're very sad to lose him. We know the first loss is for the Czech nation, but we feel that it's a loss for the United States as well.
The Israeli envoy in Prague, Yaakov Levy, also addressed the gathering, remembering Václav Havel as a great friend of his country. I asked Mr. Levy how he felt celebrating the holiday of Hanukkah at a time of mourning for the former Czech leader.
Happiness because of the holiday, but mixed with great sorrow, because not only was Václav Havel a great world leader, a major figure in the current history of Czechoslovakia and Czech Republic, but he was a great friend of Israel and was admired by all Israelis for his stand against totalitarianism and for his great friendship with us.
The Lord Mayor of Prague, Bohuslav Svoboda, asked the assembly to hold a minute of silence in honor of the former president. He said he was happy that Václav Havel was remembered at the ceremony.
This evening, Hanukkah light was very, very symbolic because President Havel is dead and President Havel for us was light. And now we start with Hanukkah light and I am very, very, very happy that this day we have together light Hanukkah and memory light of President Havel. Avoteinu bayamim ahem
bayamim ahem bazman hazeh. That report by Jan Richter. Now, when Václav Havel came to Prague Castle, it meant a complete upheaval not only of the old system of governance, but also of the way things were run at the historical seat of the president itself. One of those who has been at Prague Castle since the very outset of that period is architect and art historian Zdeněk Lukeš, who worked closely with Václav Havel on revamping the castle and shared in the exuberance of the early administration. Speaking here with Christian Falvey, he recalled working with Mr. Havel in the Civic Forum, the first post-communist political movement.
For me it was very interesting because he was a very quiet man, but he was in the center of everything there. Yeah, in Laterna Magica, it was a former theater and basement spaces full of people, most of dissidents and then some members of any initiatives and so. That's why it was a very special space and very special atmosphere there, but he was very respected by everyone. He was very, very strong person, very quiet, and I think sometimes he said something, but it was very very important for that moment in any times, of course. That's why that strong person.
He was very energetic in those early days. Did he keep
up? But on the other side, tired, because it was a hard time, of course, for all of us. Negotiations during days and nights, and it was not so easy to be fit during that hard period. But I think he was fantastic.
And did he invite you personally to come work at the castle, or how did that come about?
I was invited by his collaborator and his advisor, Miroslav Masák. During 1990, I was invited to be involved in some projects. We said revitalization of Prague Castle process. It was the official name of that process, and unofficial was something like an opening of enchanted castle. Because most spaces here in Prague Castle era were closed in that times, and it was necessary to think about how to open for public, of course, and how to use these spaces for better functions, for instance, to create new galleries, concert spaces, and also including, of course, practical things like, for instance, restaurants, bars, cafes, and so on.
And Mr. Havel was very involved in this process.
Very, because I think one of the reasons is that his grandfather and his father were architects and structure engineers and so, and they were responsible for very important monuments here in Prague. That's why that Václav Havel was surrounded with architecture from the beginnings, because he was born in a house which was designed by his grandfather. And another reason was that Havel wanted to open castle for public, to invite people and to create something like a culture center here in Prague Castle.
Which is completely tied into his personality in general of openness and tearing down walls.
Yeah, I think he was in a very similar situation than Mr. Masaryk, the first president of Czechoslovakia, because when Masaryk came to Prague Castle after establishing of independent state in 1918, castle was in very bad condition, empty, dilapidated partly, and it was necessary to equip again and to open for people, to destroy fortification walls against city. And so I think that a very similar situation was after 1989 Velvet Revolution in Prague Castle, because the only spaces reachable for tourists, for people, were courtyards of Prague Castle, one part of the old royal palace, and one of the smallest gardens of Prague Castle area. And it was all, I think it was necessary to start new process of revitalization of huge area by Guinness Book of Records, the largest permanent seat of head of state in the world.
He had very strong aesthetic principles. You can see them in a lot of the documentaries about him, where he's complaining about the way his podium looks, or he's complaining about what kind of vase is in this,
maybe
is in this place, standing next to him.
Because he was connected with theater life, and that's why that he was a little bit something like a stage manager also.
Can you give us a specific example of an occasion that you recall when he was stage managing the
performance? I think, for instance, during preparing process for a big meeting of politicians in 2001 here in Prague Castle. Maybe you remember, I think all important head of states came to Prague for about 2 days, and the meeting was held here in Prague Castle, partly in the Spanish Hall, partly in Vladislav's Hall. It means two most important spaces of castle area. And Václav Havel arranged the meeting, including all details. For instance, pass from one hall to another hall through castle area. And he wanted to surprise guests with some pieces of architecture or design or pictures of our leading artists. And so it was interesting.
Can you tell me more about the atmosphere in Prague Castle in those earliest days when the new administration came here? And can you tell me also to what extent did Václav Havel himself contribute to that atmosphere?
I think it was very, very special. I think very, very far from any atmospheres in any centers of power of any state of the world, because all of us, we were amateurs. That's why that we are not experts on a protocol, for instance, and so. And on the other side, famous people came here to Prague Castle to feel the atmosphere of castle with a leading person who was a former dissident and playwright, and now is a head of state, of course. That's why the atmosphere is very curious, I think, for many people here.
But to what extent?
I think one example, for instance, Václav Havel was a little bit shocked with a very tight atmosphere of protocol and so, and that's why that he decided to have so-called sweater day, one day a week. It was, I think it was Thursday, every Thursday, and we had to dress sweaters, not official jackets and ties and bows, and so that's why it was something like an unofficial day. And then what was also nice that we had chance to discuss all these interventions to Prague Castle area, to stroll through the castle area with him and to discuss all these possibilities, how to use a garden, how to open this and how to connect this part of Prague Castle with another and so.
And he enjoyed being a part of this decision-making process. He didn't leave it completely to other...
It was especially in the first period of his rule, Prague Castle, because after his illness, I think it was, of course, situation a little bit changed.
You told me the last time I was here about the time when the Rolling Stones were here and you had to go through the window.
Yeah, of course, and it was another interesting meetings. Bruce Springsteen was here, and I brought him to the tour through Prague Castle. It was a nice meeting. He was alone, no police, nothing like guards or something like that. It was nice. Or Joan Baez, she tried to sing in every spaces here in the old Royal Palace, for instance. And it was also fascinating.
Like separately?
Atmosphere and to prove acoustics of Gothic space of Vladislav Hall, for instance, or Spanish Hall. And so it was fascinating. Then I met with Michael Jackson also here and with Rolling Stones. And many meetings with famous people. Once I remember, I was in Havel's working room here to help with decoration. It was during Sunday afternoon, and once the door opened and one lady came in, and I was shocked a little bit. It was Jacqueline Kennedy, alone. We brought her to Vicarka pub, opposite to St. Vitus Cathedral, and it was very interesting also. That's why that possibility to meet some people, and of course head of states, and so that's why the Prince Charles, who was very interesting to see Prince of Wales entering the former cell of Václav Havel, is now a luxury hotel there.
Was he nervous about meeting these foreign celebrities in the beginning?
Yeah, I think he was a little bit nervous. But on the other side, he was a very, very nice man. That's why that all these meetings were very, very nice. Yeah, he was very modest. Yeah, and that's why that it was possible to speak with him of any theme you could imagine. That's why that he was very open. Yeah, that's why that it was nice to have chief like Václav Havel, of course. And then open for any ideas how to improve castle area or to present contemporary world art there.
He was famous for being very, very modest, but he's also often referred to even today as being a reluctant politician, which I'm not sure is actually true. He seems to have rather enjoyed his role in leading and helping shape Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic. Would you say that's true, or how would you stand on that?
I think there were maybe two faces of Václav Havel. The modest one, maybe, to say, doubting man, who had problems how to define himself, and he knew that he's not a politician. And so, on the other side, Václav Havel is a strong leader of state with clear ideas. Yeah. And, of course, maybe it was a little bit idealistic on the other side, but on the other, also men who wanted to help dissidents in other countries and so. And it means not simple man, but more complicated.
You were here throughout his entire term of office. Do you feel like he changed during those 13 years?
Not so many. I think that he was Václav Havel himself, and I think not so many changes. Of course, the illness was bad for him, and it was not so easy for him, of course, and not so easy for us.
Well, lastly, as an employee of Prague Castle of 20 years, as someone who worked for many, many years with Mr. Havel, and also simply as a Czech, how do you feel about his passing?
For me, it was sad information, of course. But on the other side, I think that I expected this because he was in very bad condition during last months. But all of us were in shock because he was a great man, of course. And the atmosphere here in Prague Castle, especially in early 90s, was fascinating. And
why was he a great man for you?
Why? Because he was modest, very intelligent, not typical politician man, who his main profession was he was playwright, and that's why he was connected with artists, with philosophers, and so. And of course, I admired him as a man who was a dissident in the last period, who was imprisoned by communist regime, and but was a brave man and who tried to fight against a totalitarian regime, and it was not so easy, of course. For me, it was a nice surprise that many people loved him and came to Prague Castle or to St. Anne Church to meet with him. And so that's why that I think his seal in our modern history is very strong, and my consideration is one of the leading persons of 20th century in Europe, and so as for many people here.
That was architect Zdeněk Lukeš talking there to Radio Prague's Christian Falvy. I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. Thank you again for the messages of condolence that you've been sending us from all over the world. Please join us again if you can for our special broadcast in the coming days. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so by email at english@radio.cz or by post at Vinohradská 12 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But for now, from me, Pavla Horáková, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for joining us, and goodbye.